be irulao. Watch your back, watch your back. A chance is gonna get you. Watch your back, watch your back. A chance is gonna get you. Watch your back.
Oh, there's a crime here. It's a coming from the Euskaleria. Gotta wash those red hands. It's the crimes of the Basland. It's the crimes of the Basland.
Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Julie. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good too, thanks.
Well, we're joined again with our very special guest.
Goyo.
Goyo.
Hi, welcome. Guys. Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, we're happy
we're
to have you.
We're excited, yeah.
So, how's everybody doing this week?
I'm a little bit stressed, but it's working out.
Yeah, happy. Happy it's the weekend.
Yeah. No kidding. Finally. So, this week we're doing a cheeky zone.
We are.
Yeah. And I was going to say, should we talk about what we're drinking?
Yeah, no, I was thinking for the newcomers, so Crimes of the Basklands says it in a name, it's a true crime podcast, and the Cheeky Salt, which is what we're doing this week, is just short news stories from around the world that do have a connection somehow with the Basque Country, right?
Yeah.
And today, and we always have a drink, and we invite our listeners to join in.
Mm-hmm. If you can, don't do it while you're driving.
Yeah, not obligatory, just an invitation. What are you having today?
I'm drinking that the gin that I was drinking last week. It's a Bilbo dry gin.
Mm.
It's from Amurrio.
Nice.
From the distilleries Acha.
Oh, nice. Sounding good.
14 botanicals. So it's got like thyme, red tea, cardamom, coriander.
Delish.
Lovely.
Tasty.
The classics.
Mm-hmm. And you, what are you boys drinking?
I'm drinking some fizzy water. Mm. Boring, kind of, I guess, but it's bottled.
Roski.
Yeah, it's from the Basque Country, though, the water, so.
Yeah, bottled in the Basque Country.
Yeah,
from
at least
the Basque
bottled.
Country.
Yeah.
Basque water.
Yeah. Who knows where it came from?
How does Basque water taste?
It's delicious.
Nice. It's bubbly. Don't tell the Basque. Best people in general don't really go for the bubbling water, but it's hilarious. Some people are really offended when you offer them sparkling water here.
Offended.
Like in a bar, pretty much offended. Like, what?
Well, whenever I order it in a bar, they look at me weird.
Right, almost really? Like they're offended. Yeah.
I feel like it's becoming a little more common, though. Yeah. You can find it in more places now than before.
For sure.
It's pretty much for the German tourists.
Not at fiestas yet. Hasn't made it to fiestas.
No, all right. Well, I want a complaint form.
The Josnas, they're not stacking the soda water behind the bar.
Well, I had some drinks yesterday after couch surfing, so I'm also I upgraded to a sparkling water from a Coca-Cola.
Mm.
And I think
I'm the only one boozing it up this time.
Well, our
I haven't had anything to drink.
Very responsible supervisor here is Megan's.
Oh yes,
on
of course, Megan,
well.
Our producer is joining me. Thanks, Megan.
Producer, I always forget that name. I'm sorry. I will upgrade to beer soon, though, I think.
Yeah. Mm. So this week, I'm going to start you. I have a little surprise for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've created a little quiz for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I've done a quiz before on a cheeky sub with Douglas, and he did pretty good. Actually, it was the last one that we released.
Yeah, I remember editing it. It was kind of cute. It was, yeah. I think it would be really cute for us to have one question every episode. I thought that would be cute.
One?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because we, like, it
I've
ended
been limiting
up,
it to five.
We ended up with, like, 40 minutes last time, talking just with the questions.
Because you couldn't remember the sauces.
But, it was all interesting, though. All the questions were great.
Think about it.
It's just like, you know, we just didn't classify them the same way, you know? You're like, well, you can call it a typical sauce, but if it's simply a sauce in one dish, I'm like, that's not a sauce. That's a dish. But anyway,
true.
Before we repeat,
and that's why we're on
the
40 minutes,
I know.
Yes.
I'm
whether
a philosopher.
It's a sauce or a dish.
At heart, I'm a philosopher. But I'm excited. Let's
that's
go.
That's true. Okay.
Now I've
ready,
got help
boys?
From Goyo.
I'm ready.
Okay. Oh. So cider season. or Chuch season has come to an end this year.
Oh, right.
So Chuch, I don't know if that actually means anything. It's what you do when you cheers, right? When you're drinking cider and you cheers, you say Chuch, right?
Yeah, I think it is for cider.
So does it just mean cheers?
It's when you go to serve the cider. Somebody will yell Chuch, and everybody knows that then they're going to open the big barrel.
Okay. So I know we've talked about cider houses before, but maybe we could say a little more about them, like what the... We've talked about, like, the food, the menus, like a set menu, and like, and they have the big barrels.
With cider in them.
And then everyone goes they open up the little spigot or whatever, and it just shoots out some spider, you know, you just get a little drink of it.
Yeah, and...
They're just so served.
Chuch is like, we're going to open the spigot sort of thing?
Yeah, like calling everybody over to time that for drinking. Particular barrel, yeah.
Okay. So, cider in Euskera?
Sagardoa,
good. Which town has the most cider houses? And what is that in Euskera?
Sagardotegia.
Good. Okay, so A, is it Hernani? B, is it Astigarraga?
Astigarraga.
Is it C, Usurbil?
Astigarraga is my vote.
Yeah? Good, because I was going to go with the first one.
Hernani. You know Hernani?
I mean, it's famous for cider houses. But...
You are correct, Sir Goyo. Yep. Astigarraga.
We must have gone over this as well, but it's way more popular, cider houses in Gipuzkoa, so...
Usually they drop, when you take a bus, they drop you off in Hernani. To party, and then they take you to the cider house, and then they bring you back to Hernani.
Yeah. The same thing happens in Astigarraga, too.
Yeah.
And
How far is it?
They're connected. I mean, they're like...
Right next door.
Yeah, they're attached.
Okay.
The towns, so it's all sort of like meshed together, and the majority of them are in those two towns, but there are some all over. Usurbil has a lot. Urnieta has a lot. That whole area.
One valley, I guess.
Yeah.
So this is in Goyo's neck of the woods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's about... Astigarraga is... And Hernani is like a 10-minute train ride away.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Remind the listeners where you're from.
Well, I live in Donosti, in San Sebastian, which is the capital of Gipuzkoa, the next province over.
Okay, so now you guys have to try to guess a number.
Okay.
And then whoever gets closest without going over. Can't go over.
Okay.
What percentage of the cider is produced in the Donostia region? What percentage?
70?
65?
90.
Wow.
90%.
Wow, that's so high.
I know, right?
Yeah. I guess they must bring apples from other provinces, though, right?
Like, yeah, they import apples. I don't think it's popular to talk about that, honestly.
But
they do.
I'm just like,
they do. But there are apples here. But there are apple orchards all over the area. And we go on hikes around, like leaving Donosti and walking to the next town over, and you walk through a lot of apple orchards. So it's, I mean, I'm not surprised. 90? I wasn't, I said 70, but.
Yeah. Okay, so now next one. You got to guess the number without going over, okay? About how many local cider houses are visited?
What do you mean, are visited?
How many local cider houses are visited every year? Like local in that area. Yeah, I didn't word that question very well. How many...
Visitors do they receive?
No. How many individual cider houses are visited a year?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's you go first
like
this
how
time.
How many are there? So local is in, like, I think, Gipuzkoa.
I mean, if we've got 90% of the houses.
Yeah.
You're counting for the whole Basque Country? I mean, it doesn't make a difference, really.
Yeah.
It will be mostly Gipuzkoa. I'm going to guess 64.
64.
50. 80. 80, wow. 80. You got close.
That's a lot, no?
Yeah.
I was
going. And they all make a killing too. It's like great business.
Yep, it is.
Okay, so about how many people visit these houses annually?
between 80 institutions. I don't even know what.
5 million.
5 million.
Yeah.
I'll go 2.5
million. Are we shooting high?
You guys.
Looks like we are.
There's 2 million people in the bathroom.
I know, don't like.
there are so many tourists.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Buses and buses and buses of tourists go to those.
Well,
with
you're
mine,
both way off.
Way off.
Okay.
Go lower. Give me a lower number.
Okay. 800,000.
Okay.
500,000.
800,000.
Whoa!
Nailed it.
Nice.
That seems low to me, though.
But it's only Gipuzkoa.
But that's like a third of the population, if you think about it, of
once
the vast
a year.
Country.
Mm.
And so then my first story that I'll tell, which is not really a long story, it's just kind of like a caveat, okay,
mm-hmm.
for this whole thing, is that the best cider in the world was, you know, the prize went to Asti Garriaga.
Mm-hmm. Nice, Asti Garriaga.
In Gipuzkoa. It won first prize in the Great Lakes International Cider and Perry Competition.
Oh,
Great Lakes.
Wow.
From
nice.
The U.S.
Impressing the judges.
So it's the largest international cider competition. So it's held annually in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it proclaimed the cider house from Gipuzkoa as the winner.
Nice.
The natural
good.
Cider category.
And
well,
France,
it's
Michigan.
Yeah, and it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised it won.
Zapien,
yeah.
Has been recognized mm-hmm. as the International Cider House of the Year. That was the house. Okay. Mm. And it obtained a high score with the four products presented in the competition. Okay, so
quiz,
do you want
like
to give us a story, Goyo?
Yeah, I've got...
Good job, boys. You did pretty good.
Hey, that was a hard quiz, Julie.
Hey,
I should have studied
I'm not
up.
Here
next
to
time,
make friends.
If, yeah, if, you know, if I'm ever invited back again, I
you better
will
get
study
ready.
Up. Yeah, I'm
gonna... Study hard. It's an exam.
Well, I have a crime, actually, for my first story.
Nice. Love a crime. It is crime so, to the best
yeah.
times, after all.
So...
Thank you for unbranding.
There we go. So, at about 9:45 p.m. last April 16th in the Antiguo neighborhood of San Sebastian, of mm-hmm. Donosti, in a rented flat, there were three of multiple flatmates together. One of the men was of Spanish nationality, another was of Polish nationality, and a third man was, quote, of Slavic origin. I guess they didn't, they decided not to say, yeah, what,
I don't have a
what his nationality was, but, so the Spanish man allegedly felt threatened by the Polish one, left the room, grabbed a wooden shovel he kept in the hallway, returned to the room, approaching from behind while his flatmate was sitting in a chair watching television.
Oh my
And
gosh.
These are flatmates?
Yeah. He proceeded to hit him on the back of the head twice, which knocked him on the floor, where he, quote, dealt him at least two more blows.
Oh. No.
The third man was also in the room at the time. So
and going, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So sources have detailed then that shortly after the attack, a fourth man came into the flat and the aggressor confessed what he had done. And this man called the Ertzaintza. And by the time the Basque police got there, they found the body lying on the ground with several injuries but of this blunt force. Without vital signs.
He was dead.
And obvious signs of criminality.
Oh
yep, he was dead. So then they called the health officials who came to the scene, and the doctor pronounced him dead.
Oh.
So the two people who were in the room, the two men, were detained, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Oh, including the other one that was just there?
Yeah, the one that was a bystander or whatever.
Yeah, they're
Yeah, because he didn't call the cops.
Nope, exactly.
It wasn't until some fourth guy came in.
He was, since the Spanish one, the one who did it, had confessed to this other guy. They detained the third one for precautionary reasons, but they were already pretty sure of, you know, who had done this.
Yeah.
So 2 days later, the perpetrator confessed to the murder before a judge. And so along with the facts that I've just enumerated, he said before that judge that the victim had already filed the complaints about threats against him. So there was some kind of issue already there. Mm. And he confessed to habitual consumption of toxic substances, including on the day of the attack.
So it was time.
Probably speed.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, this happened about a little over a month ago. Wow. And yeah, within the 2 days later, he confessed to it. Oh, so yeah, these, I just imagine what this was going on in this flat, what their life was like, and you know.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Jesus, I mean, well,
Christ.
It's too short for us to talk about in the main case because it's so clear cut. 2 days closed.
Yeah. Case closed, and he confessed, you know, I mean, there was no way around it. There was.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they had him by the
witnesses,
balls.
Witnesses, like, no everything.
Way. Yep. Like, what are you going to do? I guess you could try for self-defense.
Yeah. Well, I think the main story said that he started saying he had felt threatened by his roommate.
He felt threatened by the Polish.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Who was sitting there watching TV. So I don't, that's why I said about.
When and it, from behind.
Yeah. And they talk about the substances. Well, he went to get the shovel and hit him from behind, but because something was going on. So I'm just wondering, and again, there aren't a lot of details about all of what was behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I assume that maybe, I don't know if they were dealing or if they maybe they owed money to somebody or like I don't know, again, this is all my speculation, I have no idea.
Yeah,
but
if you think about speed addicts,
but because yeah, because
not in good place in life,
they're always dealing with
well, and that was my guess too, speed again, this shit. Is all like all of this is
they're
my own
out with not the best crowd.
Yeah, so I can imagine. I just,
or like you ripped me off,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, in any case, I mean, he's been, I mean, according to the report, he's been consuming drugs.
Jesus.
So, you know, paranoia is a well-known
effect.
If you're taking it for a long time and in a little flat with communication problems, again,
yeah,
that could be an issue, you know, not understanding each other very well or and then just leaving ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for somebody who wasn't, let's say, 100% there mentally, you know, if he was either depressed and that's why he was taking drugs or whatever, like, he's clearly not in a good place, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did they say how old they were?
No, they don't say anything about ages. No, nothing about that.
Mm. I have to say, when I moved in here, I was so happy I did not have to. I don't have to hopefully ever share apartment again.
No, I know. Roommates.
I think it was a great...
Too old for roommates now.
Yeah. In my 20s and 30s, fine.
I mean, if I was a single woman, I probably wouldn't mind living with another single woman.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know...
No, it'd be nice. I mean, I don't think it'd be a bad thing.
I've shared my fridge enough. I don't need to share my fridge anymore. If we both have fridges, I can share an apartment.
If we both have our separate fridges.
Separate fridges. Not separate bathrooms or anything. But.
Yeah, I mean,
separate bathrooms are nice, too.
They
you
is
only have
nice.
To clean your own bathroom.
Yeah. So that's my,
yeah,
my first story.
Yeah, it's day.
Yeah, it is.
And I have something that kind of clips onto that, but I don't know if this is one of your stories, because we surprise each other.
Yeah.
So did you hear that the big Europe's largest speed laboratory was dismantled since the
I did hear that, yeah.
Was that, were you going to present?
I wasn't going to talk about it, but I did
of
hear
speed.
It.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, let's go
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, they found the Civil Guard has dismantled in San Sebastian what considers the largest speed lab or meth lab or whatever in Europe. And it operated an operation that began in Navarra. It seized around 800 kilos.
Yeah.
That's enough for Europe.
Yeah, but they say that the speed is really good from here. Like,
it's good, nice, clean
it's
speed.
It's good speed,
quality
yeah.
Speed.
People in the Spanish state.
They're like, this is nice.
I know people who have lived in other places in the Spanish state who, like, it's known that the speed from here is good. Not from my
Not
own
anymore.
Experience.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
they
now
busted
it's,
the
yeah.
lab.
Yeah.
Well, there'll still be some kilos
now it's
around.
All bathtub meth.
By the amounts, we must have some stashes still for a few good months.
Yeah, 800 kilos.
That's a lot.
What a waste.
Yeah, I saw the footage and stuff, like the photos. It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I did hear that, but I didn't bring it as a story, but okay, I heard that.
Okay, I just
yeah.
thought I'd add that on to, I yeah. bet this, you, I think you're right, that these guys would mm-hmm. probably speak.
Yeah. And they, it speak. Sounds like, the fourth man, the one who came in after the fact.
Like he just came over, like, hey guys, what's up?
According to what I've read, and again, there aren't a lot of articles about it, but he also lived in the flat. And so, oh. but they don't say that fourth man's nationality. So also, I don't know if there was like some kind of power play involved, because at least two of the people living in the flat were immigrants. Again, all of this is my own, what goes on in my mind when I read a story like this.
Or because he came upon the scene, maybe they spared him releasing his name yeah, his, and stuff and yeah. nationality.
Yeah.
Right, because they could determine that he wasn't part, maybe or evolved, he wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. directly. Let's happened. Say, yeah,
yeah,
and more and he's like the a witness. One that called in
yeah.
the police.
Yeah.
Oof.
Pretty
right.
tough. Pretty tough.
It's a strong start, Goyo.
Yeah.
it's like an axe murder to start.
Yeah. wow.
Should we take a break?
Let's
sure. Get into the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
do And we're back.
We're back.
This is a little bit more lighthearted, I guess, in a way, but it's really sad, too, at the same time.
I mean, it is crime.
It is crime.
Yeah, and this is a crime. You'll see how it's a crime in many different ways. So this takes place, actually, in the ponds of Gipuzkoa. Of Gipuzkoa, like along the banks. Yeah, the ponds, like the little... lakes, like tiny lakes, small lakes, ponds.
I didn't know you had ponds.
Yeah, there are little ponds along some of the rivers. Specifically, mm-hmm. this takes place along the Oria River, which you mentioned Usurbil before mm-hmm. when we were talking about the cider houses. So it goes, well, from inland, and it goes through there by Usurbil, and then to Orio, the town, mm-hmm. the next town, coastal town from San Sebastian. We've walked back and forth from there before.
Mm-hmm.
So in this river, there are little ponds form along the side, the banks of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a species called the southern frog, which is endemic to those ponds, the mm-hmm. ponds of Gipuzkoa.
Okay.
And it's about to go extinct. It's about to die out. Big surprise.
Are
humans are involved.
Cute?
They're, yeah, of course they're cute.
Pollution.
But it's not pollution. It is what's happening, according to Xavier Rubio, who's a member of a nonprofit that defends the conservation of natural heritage and biodiversity, says that invasive exotic species are a general problem now in these ponds. So people are abandoning their pets, like turtles and goldfish, thinking, according to this man, that they're giving them freedom.
Yeah.
But in the end, these are invasive species, and they pose great harm to the native mm-hmm. fauna. And this particular species is about to die out. So in the case of this, of the southern frog,
and it only exists in that part of the world.
Yeah. And the invasive species are eating their eggs, and they're eating the vegetation.
Are they doing anything?
These conservation groups are trying to save it, but it's just the river and the ponds are overtaken.
It's like
take
them out of it and then have to raise them in mm-hmm. farms or something to save it.
Yeah,
it's a hard one because sometimes you're not allowed to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I hope people do try and, you know, preserve it in terrariums
mm-hmm.
or terraria and just kind of preserve the genetics for hopefully a future when we can reintroduce them again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, invasive species, especially amphibians.
So. Yeah. And that's a classic human move, right?
Totally, yeah.
Release the animal in the wild, like a pet, a house mm-hmm. pet, that you're like,
it'll
be fine. And it's like, no, that animal's been domesticated, and it's not going to live a day out there.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's going to live
and then get eaten by a hawk.
or destroy the native.
Too successful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which
invasive.
A lot.
So the article also talks about two other areas in Gipuzkoa and the species, the amphibian species that are in danger there for the same reasons, and two other areas nearby, the Chingudi area, which is near Irun, up near the border with the North Basque Country, and one of the parks in San Sebastian, even. So it's a big problem. And I didn't know this, but according to this article, the amphibians are the most endangered group of invertebrates in the world.
Wow.
In general, amphibians around the world. Yeah.
In general,
yeah. So I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that. That was something I learned from this article. And this article came out just a couple of days ago. So it's a really current issue.
Wow. Okay. So I have a story that I found interesting. Okay.
Mm.
First of all, I'll premise it with this, that when I was looking for stories this week, there was so much fucking shit about machista violence,
yeah.
Like how it's increased over the years. Mm-hmm. And it, just this last year, it's the rise has been really high of partners killing their mm-hmm. partner. And I, you know, Megan and I have talked about this a lot, about how when there's any progress in mm-hmm. the women's movement, the men's movement, yeah. if you will, quote unquote, I'm quoting, I'm doing air quotes, yeah. doubles down, mm-hmm. like they're going to lose something
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. women are making progress. And so it just tends to get more, it gets worse mm-hmm. before it gets better. So apparently like all the stats are much higher, like mm-hmm. in the last year mm-hmm. of these types of crimes, right? So this story that I found was that orphans who are victims of sexist violence are able to request aid up to the age of 25. So if their parent, their mother, mm-hmm. was killed by her partner
mm-hmm.
or their father, they can now claim they can get some sort of aid
mm-hmm.
to this live their lives.
In the Basque Country in Spain, I imagine.
Yeah, it's in the Basque Country.
Okay.
The aid may be received up to the age of 25 if one pursues regulated academic studies or if one has a dependency or disability.
Oh. Okay.
So they have to be studying. So it's
yeah,
like trying to help them with something that in theory
their family would have been.
Yeah, their family would have helped them.
Otherwise, mm-hmm. right.
But they've been orphaned through this crime.
Horrible
yeah,
thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So the measure is framed, this is quote, this is, the measure is framed within the law of equality of women and men in the lives and lives free from sexist violence against women. So in general, the annual aid is 5,760 euros.
Hmm.
It'll be provided to people up to 18 years old who've lost their mother after being murdered by a sexist man. This amount will be doubled to 11,520 euros if the minor has a dependency or a disability of more than 33%.
Mm-hmm.
Orphans will receive aid until they're 25. And that's only in the case that they're pursuing academic studies or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In addition, the decree contemplates an extraordinary measure that consists of a single payment of 10,000 euros retroactively to all of those who've been orphaned since 2003.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the context of sexual violence. Or sexist violence, I should
say. From one hand, you see a lot of like consequences of a bad family environment, right? Like down, like even I'm interested in family trees, and you see that happening through the generations if you have serious problems. So it's a nice way to try and address
generational
that.
Trauma.
I'm not sure if it's going to do anything. And I was just going to add in, because that's, I think it's a very, very Basque/Spanish thing. Like I'm 33% disabled. Like the government assesses you and gives you a percentage of what you're, so you might get a 55, you might get a 73. It's all like, they have tests to do that. Just for some listeners who don't know the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a interesting system.
Yeah. I have actually something related to this.
Yes,
I'm glad you brought this,
this
story up. It's not related to the orphans, but it's the same theme. And it takes place in Pamplona. So I decided I wanted to bring mostly stories from Guipúzcoa because I'm representing.
Mm-hmm.
But I brought a couple from Navarre, which is the next province over as well. So this story is from Monday, May 20th. So just a few days ago.
Yeah.
The municipal police in Pamplona arrested a couple, which was made up of a 34-year-old man,
okay,
and his 57-year-old female partner for quote-unquote attacking each other. So the woman called the police from their flat in the second Ensanche neighborhood, which is like one of the most centrally located ones, like right where the old quarter is and the bull ring and all of that, like a really centrally located area. So she calls the police from their flat saying that her partner was attacking her. And when the agents arrived on the scene, both of the people in question claimed that they had been attacked by
the other.
Mm-hmm. And they both had injuries from a fight.
Okay.
And they both said they were going to file a police report against the other one. So they were both detained and they're being investigated for abuse in the family environment. This
complicated.
Yeah, it's really complicated, but it's like a 34-year-old man and a 57-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Like. And they're both like being detained and now both of them are being investigated. She called the police to report this alleged abuse. Mm-hmm. And when they got there, he was like, "Whoop, she's abusing me too. So I'm going to file a police report too." Like,
well, I guess we got to do both.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I feel that that's not.
So it's going too much for you? Becoming too much? You don't think he should be allowed to do
that? No, I definitely think he should be allowed to. I just bring into question whether that's the truth. Well, which is why they have to investigate, no?
Maybe, exactly. Yeah. So maybe in the past they wouldn't have, mm-hmm. right? They would have just taken her word for it and mm-hmm. he wouldn't have had any say or mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, like, sticking up here for a quote-unquote men's rights.
No.
But I'm saying, like, the fact that they're like, all right, we've got to take this case mm-hmm. as a case-by-case sort of situation, right? So you mm-hmm. have to, if they both look totally fucked up.
Yeah, there was clearly
evidence.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know any further details because it was just this week and it was just a small blurb in the Diario de Navarra. Mm-hmm. So related to your topic that you just
same brought. Theme, same topic, yeah. Well spotted.
Okay, so my next one, because I was worried that we were going to do like similar stories, I was like, I better look in the Americas. This is in the U.S. A woman shot her Uber driver after mistakenly believing she was being kidnapped and now is facing murder charges. So this is in Texas, of course. And this is 48-year-old Phoebe Copas. Shot her driver, Daniel Piedra Garcia, after she wrongly thought he was kidnapping her to Mexico.
Oh, and what was her? Sorry, what was her name?
Copas.
Right.
Which in Spanish, copas.
Drinks,
or like glasses, mostly mixed
glasses,
drinks.
Yeah,
mixed drinks, like, yeah.
Right?
Isn't Copa de vino could be as well, a glass of wine.
Drinks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Solving problems by shooting each other.
That is the Texas way. To be fair. Oh my gosh.
So
does it say
this
any?
This is in El Paso.
Uh huh. There's quite a lot of kidnapping and crime in El Paso.
So she's from Kentucky. And she was in Texas visiting her boyfriend. She called an Uber to take her to visit her boyfriend at a casino after he got off work. And then she allegedly became worried that she saw highway signs for Juarez, Mexico.
Oh, my gosh.
So exactly what we just said. So as soon as she saw signs that said this way to Juarez in El Paso, which is right
connected.
Across the border.
Yeah, it is one city separated by a wall.
So she claims that what led her to believe she was being kidnapped, and taken to Mexico. She pulled out a revolver from her bag and shot the 52-year-old driver in the back of the head and wrist, causing the car to crash before calling the cops. She even took a photo of the incident and sent it to her boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh.
The investigation so far does not support that a kidnapping took place or that Piedra was veering from Copas' destination.
Oh my gosh.
So basically this woman, he was just following the route that the Uber app led him on to take her where she needed to go.
I've never gotten an Uber, but doesn't it kind of show you where you're supposed to go on a little
map?
So
yeah, and they usually, the drivers...
Just following where they're told to go.
The line, where GPS...
And the drivers usually have the GPS there. So.
Yeah, so. And if you veer away, presumably it would start going, turn to the left, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
have to go through these large. Yeah. You're gonna see
the police. You know,
border patrol people. She's clearly before you go into Mexico.
Yeah, she's obviously. Never crossed the border in life. If she thinks just driving through is being kidnapped, you know.
Yeah.
She needs a passport as well. Oh, yeah. She needed a bad, not anymore.
you didn't used to. I never used to.
No.
Yeah.
Either way, though, I can accept her feeling that fear, or I can understand or listen to her explain. I mean, we know the world we live in, and we know where she was in the situation and the history, no?
And there's a lot of cases of Uber drivers.
Yes.
Taxi drivers.
So what I can't understand is why shooting him in the back of the head is the first solution. Like, you have your phone, you took a picture of it, you have your phone in hand, you can, you know, report this somehow, send your boyfriend a message, call, like, send the, so I don't know, options. Like, there's a way.
Yeah.
Let somebody know what you think is happening, where you are, send your location,
ask live, her to stop.
Live location. Yeah, so like this, that for me, I don't want to bring into question the... her fear.
No.
But I definitely am bringing into question her solution.
Yeah, her solution was really, really fucked up.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And, you know.
That's a classic
story. She just happened
to
have a revolver in her bag.
Just carrying it in her handbag.
She's from Kentucky.
Good find, Jillian.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, luckily there aren't... Yeah, luckily there aren't really firearms here in general.
Oh, thank God.
So yeah, I feel much safer in that regard.
Yeah.
However, I want to tell you guys another story of something that happened this last weekend in a town called Villabona, which is a town of about 5,000 people, about 20 kilometers from San Sebastian.
Okay.
A 19-year-old man was arrested after allegedly stabbing another young man in his left thigh. The first responders from the Ertzaintza, the Basque police, which we've referred to a lot, you guys have referred to
it's
a lot.
It's in the theme song.
Exactly. So they rushed to the scene and found that the attacker had locked himself, like, hid inside the entry to an apartment building.
Okay, like a stairwell.
Yeah. And he initially, of course, resisted arrest, threatened the police, they ended up detaining him in the end. And apparently the Ertzainas also had to calm down a big group of people who had been involved somehow in the altercation. And they said that, the witnesses had said that the initial problem had occurred in the quote-unquote the festive area of town, so the place where the nightlife is. But this is a small town. I have a friend who lives there, and I've been to these bars. So there are literally three bars.
Oh my God.
That's the festive area, three bars. Yeah. And he had locked himself in an apartment entryway.
Like a portal. On
a portal, yeah, an apartment entryway. On Calle Nagusia Main Street, which is the street where those three bars are as well. So I thought, I don't know, I felt some of the way the story was presented kind of made me laugh a little bit with that. But it just reminded me, though, how even when we, I feel like, started living here, this kind of attack was very rare. Mm-hmm. Like, you never heard about stabbings when we first moved here. Mm-hmm. And in the last few years, I've started hearing more and more about this kind of thing.
And isn't it huge in the UK now, right, too? Like, the whole knife thing is all crazy.
It's always been a thing in the
UK. I think
it
has been, yeah.
But I'm just thinking here about the Basque Country, like, in that, also in the small town thing.
Yeah.
Like, even in these cities where we live, I haven't, you don't see this very often.
So a 15-year-old girl was arrested for stabbing another 16-year-old girl outside the school in the Bilbao neighborhood of Santucho.
Wow.
It happened around 1:30 p.m. and the victim, was taken to the hospital.
Good.
The altercation occurred on Juan de Gardea Zabal.
Okay.
Street. It's at the exit of the school, Berrio Ochoa. Neither of the girls wanted to, like, say what happened, but everybody at the school who was witnesses to this, or were witnesses to this, said that, we saw this coming. Yeah, and so another young man who was also a student at the school, he said that there was an argument about, quote, some nonsense, apparently related to a topic of jealousy. The aggressor's boyfriend must have cheated on her with the attacked girl. That's what this boy said.
Ooh.
So, over a fucking boy.
15-year-olds, mm-hmm. I mean, and that's pretty scary.
Pretty crazy, right? Two mm-hmm. girls.
And I wouldn't, like, you know, because you hear about one or two schools being maybe worse, and that's never been on the list of bad schools, you know, up in Santucho, that's known as a good neighborhood. You know, sons of and daughters of middle class people, you wouldn't expect to be, you know, carrying knives around.
And you don't hear about this kind of school violence that we're so used to hearing about from the States.
Yeah, it's not generally a thing here. And
so kind of related to what I was saying about the small town and the more violence like coming up at night and nightlife. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing could be applied, or comment could be applied to what you just told. I haven't heard of much school violence since we've been living here.
Yeah, no.
So things are changing in some scary ways.
Yeah. Shall we go on a break?
Let's do that.
Okay.
We're back.
Hello.
Hello. I'll tell a story of something that happened in Eguia, the neighborhood of Eguia in San Sebastian. This happened about half a year ago, on a Monday in November of, 2023. So yeah, almost a year ago.
Half a year.
It's what month do we live in? What month do we live in? So it happened in the neighborhood of Eguia in San Sebastian last November, on the street called Duque de Mandas, Paseo del Duque de Mandas, which is just around the corner from my place of work. Mm. There was a man walking down the street, yelling and smashing in the windshields or the windscreens of vehicles that were parked along the road. He was using like a huge metal rod.
Wow.
That's so scary.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not going to intervene. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I would have.
I would not intervene.
No, me neither. But that's how they ended up getting him to stop.
Somebody intervened.
So, bystanders were watching, and it occurred around 1 o'clock. And it provoked great commotion in the neighborhood because street was closed too. That's what the article said.
Oh, because like it was closed to traffic.
Yeah, it wasn't. The commotion wasn't about
the cars being.
Yeah, it was because the traffic was stopped.
I can't get to my house.
So we were like, "What the hell?" Is yeah.
Going on? But so one of the
were they laying on the
parking? Is it like a very central street?
Important? It's the main street going into that neighborhood, like from the city center into that neighborhood.
Okay.
So one eyewitness was quoted saying that a man of about 30 years of age who had a blunt force weapon of great size and seemed to be out of his mind started to smash the windshields of cars parked on that street. And then three or four pedestrians tried to calm him down and get him to stop hitting the cars. And eventually one of them grabbed him from behind and stopped him. And the police arrived shortly thereafter and arrested him.
Wow.
And yeah, there are videos of that. It was intense. I can imagine that he was probably going through a very difficult situation.
Mental health, right?
Yeah, mental health and probably... Crisis. Yeah, probably... a cry for help in a way.
Really angry at the whole society, not anybody specific.
Yeah, he was saying, you can hear him, I think, in some of the videos, saying, I'm done with this. I'm done. Like, I can't stand this anymore. Mm. So I think there's probably some social justice issues involved.
Yeah.
In a way, it's a cry for help.
Yeah. So, yeah. It definitely not the way to solve problems, but I can't imagine what that man was going through that made him do this.
Yeah, and I do love the fact that like bystanders
had to
were like, hey, what? Mm-hmm. You know, they did intervene. I would have personally been like, shit, like my crime little radar would have gone off like, don't get anywhere near this person. Mm-hmm. But the fact that people like approached him and stuff is pretty Amazing.
I mean, if he was going out at one car, I'd be like, well, there's a story there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Maybe his bastard boyfriend is fucking with him, and he merits that. But, you know, when you're breaking in 10 cars along a road, it's clearly the guy is just angry with society
and seems a little unhinged, so you're like, you're not going to get yourself hurt by intervening.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love the fact that people do get involved.
Yeah.
That's good. No, I would, I mean...
And it seems they actually kind of calmed him down.
Yeah, they stopped him, I think, from smashing any more while the police were... Before they were... Yeah, were on the way. Yeah.
Wow, that's a sad story.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm happy nobody was hurt, though.
Yeah, nobody was hurt. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Just material damage.
Yeah.
I have a last story.
Okay.
So this one I kind of have a connection to because my student told me about it because her cousin is the best friend of this person, or a very good friend of this person who was in the news recently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So her, this guy, Alex Garcia, and actually Alex Garcia is a friend of ours. Have a friend.
But that's not the
Alex,
one.
But it's not Alex Garcia, our friend. Hi, Alex, if you listen.
It's a very common surname.
Yeah. So, Garcia, what's up? So, this guy went on vacation to Thailand for a 12-day trip to Thailand with his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And then started feeling sick and was admitted to the hospital in Bangkok.
That was this week or last week, wasn't it?
Well, last week is when he got brought back to Spain. He spent 3 months in Thailand in the ICU of Thailand. And
people have been talking about that.
And he kept trying to get back to Spain, but they were having all these kind of issues with transporting somebody so ill because he was in very serious medical condition. And they finally brought him back, just last week or something. Yeah, so he was there for 3 months. And this is what he says. He says, quote, that the hospitals treat him well. And then he's had days of more lucidity than others.
Oh.
So he's in and out of consciousness, basically, while he was there. Because he was basically having, a failing pancreas.
All right.
And the main, he said, quote, the main problem in Thailand has been the language. We were translating with our cell phones all the time.
Wow.
So can you imagine trying to deal with something Google so Translate. Deadly and scary and in a foreign country and you went there on holiday, you went there on vacation and then you're just there for a very long period of time.
Scary.
And his family is now in a lot of debt. They owe because he did have vacation insurance.
Travel insurance.
So it did cover the 12 days he was supposed to be there, but once that ended, all the bills started adding up. And now his family is owing over €200,000 euros.
Don't those usually cover repatriation, though?
Yeah.
But they couldn't bring him back because of his...
condition.
The gravity of the condition. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it came up in Couchsurfing because people were like, you need to get travel insurance, but read it correctly because look at this guy. He wasn't covered because of this element of his health situation.
It's you get covered for these period of time and you get travel insurance, right? Yeah. You're like, I want to be covered from this day to this day, and that's what you've agreed to. And once that ends...
Wow, that's a loophole I had never thought about until now.
And so, the family is super in debt now for his repatriation. And I guess the army brought him back. Plane or something because it was equipped for...
As I understand, the insurance... Everybody expected the insurance to take care of it, but that's part of why it took so long is the insurance just kept trying to get out of it. And they were like, oh, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And then eventually...
Well, it sounds like an insurance company.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah. It's really ridiculous. And then eventually the army stepped in, apparently. And so...
And now he's on the mend.
Good for him.
So...
Good to hear.
For my student, who is also a doctor, she's a kidney specialist. So she deals with kidney transplants and things like that. she was saying, as soon as he got back and got the operation, he was like on the mend.
This one is about football, soccer, football.
That one.
So, Paris Saint-Germain came to play our local team, the Real Sociedad, in the Champions.
Our rival, Atleti, yep, exactly. Bilbao. Our rival.
And this was, so I'm going to tell the story over a span of about 5 days. So, okay. On March 1st, 32 bars and restaurants around the area, in the area around the stadium, were informed that they would have to remove their patio terrace seating on the day of the
match,
first of all.
Were they scared they were going to throw chairs?
Yeah. And probably. So that's the first thing. Okay. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
Then a few days later on March 4th, the Ertzaintza was tipped off that there had been a pre-arranged fight between like hooligans and ultras, they call them, from the Real Sociedad and the Paris fans.
No, I didn't know Real Sociedad had ultras.
Well, good
on you guys.
Everybody's got ultras.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
ultras,
so
how would we define
hooligans? Yeah. But extremist. Extreme,
hardcore,
yeah.
So
sport extremes.
Buses with more than 2,000 fans were approaching. Were coming from the French side. Towards Donosti.
Wait, sorry, what? A bus of
buses with 2,000 fans worth of buses were coming.
Okay.
And the Ertzaintza intercepted a bus that had weapons, had a bunch of weapons.
Molotov, I think there were
they were knives and clubs, golf clubs, and different. There's a picture. I'll send you guys the link in a few minutes. But yeah, so that bus was turned away. They couldn't. Nice. They didn't let them come, luckily. But, so yeah, on game day on the 5th, the main streets in the city were all closed down because these hooligans had to, march around the city, for their team.
Right.
And that is, right where I live. So we were kind of, barricaded. Yeah. We couldn't, get in or out. And in the end, 150 ultras were identified in relation to the fight that had been planned. 50 Vascos and 100 French citizens, Parisians, or whatever.
Yeah.
So there was nothing there. To my knowledge, none of the sources, the stories I read, talked about any arrests or anything that had actually been made. But I thought there were multiple crimes going on here. I couldn't get to and from my house because of this. The streets were blocked.
You couldn't move around.
Well, you couldn't.
Not with a car, I guess.
Yeah, not with a car. You couldn't get around with a car. But, I mean, there was just all of this going on. The city was, paralizado. Shut down. And so that's the one thing, which to me, I'm just like.
That's
complaining
a mini
for
crime.
The sake of complaining. It's a mini crime, yeah. And then the other mini crime, I guess, could be that this makes it one full crime, is that the bars have to deal with that type of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. They pay to have.
And they take in their terrace because they don't want their chairs thrown around.
And they were forced to do that, and they pay they pay taxes to have to
a
use
terrace.
That space.
Yeah. You know?
And because of this.
Pretty good high taxes.
Yeah. Mm. So, that was a story.
I'm appalled.
I know.
Appalled.
I was offended.
Football. Fucking football.
Yeah. Especially
lives.
The violence.
Ruining lives.
Ridiculous and necessary.
So, that's my story.
That's
about
a good one. Fucking assholes.
You know, being half Brazilian. Yeah. They're pretty bad there.
Yeah.
As well as the UK. The UK and Brazil are some of the worst countries
the
for football.
Two nations. Yeah. Mm.
My joke was always, plus times plus is minus. Which, I mean, it should be plus 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 is minus, but it doesn't work in maths.
Not in Spanish, right? It doesn't I always teach that my English grammar is for us, two negatives make a positive.
Right.
Right? And
right. You don't need to say times.
We follow the math rule.
Yeah, but in
Spanish. But in Spanish, they don't follow the math rule. You can do two negatives in a row, and it doesn't make a positive.
Oh, but just in speech.
Nobody saw nothing, right? Like they can say in Spanish, but in English, you couldn't say that.
Nadie vio nada, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the rule is in Basque. I'm sorry, guys.
I don't either. So.
Inyarkes du ikusi
esir. That's a double negative.
That's two negatives, and it works, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. It is okay in Basque as well.
Two negatives, yeah.
It is.
Let's do our updates.
We have an update.
I have an update, and you
I have an update, too, actually.
Okay,
surprisingly.
I'll give mine first.
Okay.
This was a cheeky sub we did, like, I don't know.
Some time ago.
I could say. Like, in October...
I mean,
September last year.
When we record anyway, it's not when it comes out.
This
so
is an update
it doesn't
of a
really
story
matter
that I
when
told
we
on
recorded
a
it. Okay.
Remember the woman that stole the baby from the Presidio Hospital?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So she's finally going to go to trial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That's the update.
She went to trial.
No, now it's going to happen.
I saw the video of it.
She already went?
Yeah, she went to trial.
Oh, shit. My update's way dated.
Well, did you get the result of the trial?
She admitted... obviously, and she apologized, like, basically the main thing about the whole... It was a really quick trial because...
tell my update.
And she, she basically just said, I'd like to apologize to...
But did they ever go into, like, her mental state or anything?
I mean, not on the brief news clip that I saw on TV, but she would...
Because we all assumed that it was... Because she was faking a pregnancy the whole time.
Yeah. But they did the her defense was trying to claim that she wasn't in a proper mental state, but I don't think they've accepted that.
So did they sentence her?
I can't remember the sentencing or if that's happened yet, but I know the trial did happen, yeah.
Thanks, Goyo.
Sorry.
That's nice. That's nice. Good to know.
That's
good
how much
know.
I read the news.
Well, maybe just...
I only read the news when I'm looking for cheeky sub stories. I'm really bad about that.
But you read
I
the news.
I listen to a lot of news that's not like
local.
In the U.S. Yeah. I listen to a lot of U.S. news. Okay, tell us an update.
So it's actually an update on the mini crime time I told in part one of... Spain stole my baby.
The woman that got shot in the head.
Yes. So if anybody hasn't listened, that was a world famous episode of this podcast.
Yeah, world famous. Yeah. That
and
one went far.
You should go back and listen to it if you haven't already. But I told a mini crime time, like Julie just said, about a woman who was innocently sitting in her home and she was shot in the head and killed. Just a quick recap of what that was. It was in the town of Deba, a coastal village in Gipuzkoa, and there had been an authorized wild boar hunt to try to keep the population of that animal under control. We talked a little bit about that on when I brought this up on the mini crime time, that episode. So anyway, the summary is, or the new development is that the courts are currently investigating the alleged perpetrators who, for reckless homicide, because based on the Ertzaintza's investigation, the case, they've determined that the shooter was actually outside the authorized area. And the bullet definitely did not ricochet after having hit an animal. Those were two of the main theories, that it had ricocheted off an animal and gone through an animal.
They were shooting willy-nilly.
So, yeah, they're currently under. And they've identified the person and the weapon. By identifying the weapon, they were able to identify the person.
Who shot it.
The security ministry... are still maintaining their assumption that it was
an accident.
But they've...
Are you going to name that person
that.
Here on the
The name wasn't released. No, it's not released. So that's my update.
Very interesting.
About this poor woman.
I mean, that sounds about right, because why would a bullet go into an apartment?
Exactly.
If they were just within their range of hunting, why would a fucking bullet?
They would never have
house?
Authorized a this hunt
That's
in a place
so
where
yeah.
these homes were.
That's what sounded so fucking weird about that story.
Yeah.
Good to know that they're not putting hunting grounds next
exactly.
to Pueblos.
Exactly. Or apartment yeah. building. Yeah. Like, yeah. any day now, a bullet could come mm-hmm. through the window. And
I mean, that's...
And they could be like, we were just hunting boars.
That's every time. Apartment in Brazil, but that's another story.
For another day. And another podcast altogether.
There's not as many Basque people or descendants in Brazil. I'm sure there's a lot, but... You know,
they're
not,
everywhere.
Not percentage.
They're everywhere.
There's way more in Chile and Argentina.
Anyway, Goyo, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Joining us once again. You did a fucking amazing job.
I'm so
happy. You brought
some
great stories to the pod.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you guys and participate in your podcast. I love it.
Yeah,
I'm an original fan of the pod.
He wow. is. He's been a friend of the pod from the beginning.
Absolutely. So thanks for letting me come. If you were in Bilbao, you'd be invited more times.
And oh, thank you, Douglas.
I can tell you as many times as you like. Great guests. Well, it's a lovely pod. Yeah. Shall we just...
Douglas, always a pleasure. Yeah. Always a pleasure. And we want to thank you for joining us. And if you want to write us anything, you can write to us on... crimesofthebasklands@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a YouTube, I think, check out.
We do.
With just the audio, but...
It is just audio. Sometimes more convenient.
Yeah. Or on Instagram. DM us if you want to tell us any story suggestions or otherwise.
Yeah, we all have access to that.
Rate, you review, subscribe, all that stuff.
Like
and if
us.
You like us, you know, tell a friend as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we bid you a
Crimes of the Basque Lands is written and produced by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
Julie Garcia,
and Megan Dooley.
The sound and editing for each episode by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
and Megan Dooley.
Theme song written by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
Julie Garcia,
and Megan Dooley.
Sung by the choir with no name and produced by Tom Squires. Podcast art by Distinct Signal. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Crimes of the Basque Lands and contact us at crimesofthebasklands@gmail.com with story ideas worldwide which have a connection to the Basque Country or any rave reviews. If you like our podcast, please subscribe, like, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time,
Agur!